Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Chakana is one of South Africa's most arresting voices, a singer and songwriter who continues to shape the landscape of pop and R&B through a unique blend of vulnerability, self-possession, and an instantly recognizable voice. She grew up on musical theatre stages before she found her audience on the national screen competing twice in Idol South Africa, eventually landing in the top six. After a breakout run of hit singles, including Back to the Beach, and a collaboration with Black Coffee called Your Eyes, Chakana dropped her now classic debut album Rose Gold in 2017. Certified platinum and critically adored, it earned her Album of the Year, Newcomer of the Year, and Female Artist of the Year nods at the South African Music Awards. It positioned her as South Africa's most streamed female artist. Her follow-up album Trouble in Paradise, released in 2021, marked a shift inward and deeper. It earned her another South African Music Award for Best Pop Album. Now with her latest release, Less Trouble, Chakana returns softer, wiser and sharper than ever. The album closes a trilogy with what she calls a third floor perspective. Led by the singles Risk and Steady, the album traces her growth, capturing her evolution not just as an artist, but as a woman. Beyond the studio, she is a cultural force. From opening for Ed Sheeran and Toni Braxton to being one of the faces of Adidas Originals and founding Rosefest, a female-led platform celebrating women in music through an annual festival. Up next on Celeb Savant, live in studio at Soligold Podcast in Johannesburg, South Africa, is Chakana.
A guest with me that I've been wanting on the seat for a while, Chakana, thank you for joining us.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Lovely. Let's dive straight in. Why did you choose to have the stage name Chakana? What was the thought process behind that?
Oh, wow. It was really, really, a really extensive thought process. It's my first name. So I'm very creative, lots of hard work. No, I just went by my first name.
Okay. And any specific to just keep it as that without your surname involved, or it was just like, okay, it's just going to be the name?
You know, I actually didn't think about it. Okay. I didn't think about it. I just was what people called me, Chakana, and I was like, cool. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be in this world, this music world, this creativity world? How did that journey progress?
I think I wanted to do music after I watched the Spice Girls movie. I was convinced the life of a pop star was where it was at.
Okay.
But I think it just progressed with being at school, being in choir, being at church, singing at church, and then being in high school, doing plays. Eventually, like drama, music just became like a life, and I've never left it since, yeah.
So you reference about that image perceived or observed through the Spice Girls movie,
yes,
of
yes,
what the pop star life is or was,
yes,
through that. How actually doing it, are there things that you're surprised about that you didn't think that there would be part of it?
Oh, wow. It's so much different. It's definitely nothing like a movie. Mm. Yeah, it's a lot more. There's a lot more strategy, I think, than I, you know, imagined. And a lot more like highs and lows, I guess. I think a movie is just basically like 59 minutes of high. So, it's a lot different. It's a different journey for me, yeah.
You decided to enter The Voice?
Idols.
Idols.
Yes, yes, yes.
Voice Idols.
Same thing.
You decided to enter Idols.
Yes.
Why? What was the inspiration behind that?
I think the inspiration behind that was really like figuring out if I don't know. Do you like my voice? Like, do you like it? Or is it just me that likes it? You know, I think I was just trying to gauge, like, I think because it was so brutally honest and it was just like the thing about watching a show like that. I wanted to find out from other people, like, you know, is it a thing that I can do or isn't it? Yeah.
And that experience and journey, what was it like for you? Because the viewers see one perspective, just the TV side. And for us, it's like, okay, it seems like it happens over a couple of weeks, but it's actually over a long period of time and different iterations. Any parts of that experience that you were like, oh, I didn't realize also that this will be part of this journey?
You know, I think being on the show was so beautiful because it really kind of gave me a day-to-day experience in the life of being an artist and what you can do from Monday to Friday, which is what was beautiful, you know, because you were there from Monday to Friday. So Monday's vocal training, Tuesday's rehearsals, you know, Wednesday's song prep. And so I kind of ended up, my whole life kind of ended up being structured like I'm on Idols and like I'm performing on Sunday, you know, there's a show on the weekend. So it was beautiful in that sense that it gave me structure. Okay. Yeah.
And have you kept that foundation and structure?
Definitely. Definitely okay. Have a solid foundation, great routine. Yeah.
How do you create a song?
I take forever, first of all. I take forever, first of all. But I think I just like to have fun, you know, just like to be comfortable first and foremost. Definitely have to be in a space where I can feel vulnerable so that I can get the best out of me. And I guess I have to be in a good headspace also, else I can't really do much in studio, but it's a very emotional process, but a fun one, yeah.
Why did it take you long? Just specifically because that's your process?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I think that's my process. I would love to change it. I would love to do it faster and be better, but I just take my time with it. I think it's because I get to just write for myself. I think if I had to make it into more of a, you know, songwriting world, I'd have to be a little bit more sharper. And I think it's because I'm not very competitive. So I don't know. I'm very lazy with it, but not in a lazy way.
Yes,
just in a more relaxed sense. Yeah.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
What I enjoy about performing live the most, I guess, is just reliving those emotions, I guess. I found that I enjoy that a lot more now. I enjoy being actually in the song, you know, instead of, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like, I enjoy being in those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
I completely get it.
Yeah.
I'm that dude that's right up in front.
I love that. Thank you for being that guy. You're our favorite guy on stage.
I've seen you at Music X, Park Live, and the Spring to Life, the zoo,
a number
of show ones. Now, I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two videos, one or two photos, and then I put it away. I want to just be captivated in the moment.
Yeah.
And in that thing that you spoke about just now, I notice a lot of time people around me are filming, videoing, posting, tweeting, whatever they're doing for a lot of period of time. For you as the person on stage, do you feel that takes away from the experience, from their moment, or it's just where society is at this time?
You know, I'm not too offended by that,
okay.
I think. As long as you are enjoying it, I'm happy. As long as you're still singing along and recording, I'm happy. Our shows live online now. So it's like, you know, you're just making this a bigger thing than what it is right now. So I'm not too mad at it. It is where society is right now.
As mentioned, I've seen you at different lineups.
Yes.
I also saw your Calabash.
Yes, Calabash was fun,
So when you're on shows with a lineup like that compared to sort of your own headlining shows, obviously you bring the same intention, the same energy, 100%. The same input into that. What is the difference, however?
You know, the difference with headlining your own show is knowing that everyone is there for you.
Okay.
So you are not trying to just sing the most popular songs. You're trying to sing like the album songs that you know are people's favorite, but are not maybe mainstream. And I think that's a very special place to be, is to get to sing songs you don't usually get to sing. That's what I enjoy about headlining. We headlined recently and not headline, but headline your own show. And it was so nice to sing songs that I wouldn't normally sing on a big lineup, because I just want to keep everyone happy and do all the bangers and, you know, quick in and out. But yeah, I think when you're on a lineup, people are there to see everyone, not just specifically you. Mm. Yeah.
I love me a CD. In South yes. Africa, as we know, we don't have as much access to it. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet. I still budget for it. Gratefully, I'm able to get from Amazon UK every now and then when I can. I'm not sure if you are aware, there's a massive uptick of physical around the world.
Yes.
In the UK 2 years ago, 5.9 million vinyl sold, the biggest since 1990.
Crazy.
Last year, also in the UK, there's a basket of products that okay. they gauge exchanges on. Now, based on these exchanges, which there needs to be a high number every day, they monitor it for tax purpose, for somehow for tax purposes. Okay. Because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs have now been put back in the basket because they're climbing again.
Interesting.
The stats and the research is showing is the teenagers, it's the younger kids diving into this world, not necessarily the older nostalgic people. Mm-hmm. Then we have streaming platforms, as we know, Spotify and so forth. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
My observations are music is so much more accessible now, which is beautiful. I think people are able to just hear a variety of things, even unreleased music. I think that's where my mind has been at this week, is that it's crazy how I can sing an unreleased song just because the artist has teased and previewed it on social media. So I guess that's where that is. But I mean, I'm an old soul, so I'm very much obsessed with being a collectible and like having, you know, I have the Tyler vinyl in my lounge because I'm obsessed with vinyls and I'm obsessed with CDs and I'm obsessed with cassettes. But that's just me. And I think the beauty of where we're at is that we're starting to appreciate all those VHS moments and that kind of quick film, you know. Things will always come back into fashion is what I'm realizing. And yeah, CDs will definitely make a comeback for sure.
I think that VH moments is a title of a song. I'm just saying.
Oh, I love it. Let me write it down.
We love the fans. They're awesome. They're brilliant. They're amazing.
Yes.
Social media, they get an eyes view of your life. Have there ever been any situations when you've met a fan when it's a situation of they like, oh, I know you, you my friend, because I see you on social media every day. And there's sort of that awkward situation of, oh, but I don't really know you. Mm. Or do you just organically interact and embrace interactions?
I'm organically embrace, interact, you know, deal with the awkwardness, deal with the moment. I think I'm grateful. I'm always cognizant that these are the people that are playing your music, streaming it. They give you your daily streams. And I'm grateful for that, you know. I mean, it does get weird, but I mean, I'm grateful for the weirdness.
You referenced earlier about feelings and the emotions of the song.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you are aware of NLP. So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming.
Okay.
So this is the way people process information.
Interesting.
There's a subcategory within NLP called processing skills. Now, each of us have a dominant one, a secondary, and a tertiary. Okay. Dominant means you'll be in it most of the day, secondary maybe an hour, tertiary half an hour, if at all. Something kicks into each of us as a young person that allows us to say, okay, this is my dominant skill.
Mm-hmm.
You have three of them. You have visual people. Now, visual people process information through pictures.
Okay.
They see things. As I'm talking, they'll see a picture in their mind's eye.
Okay.
Auditory people, it's about the word, the sentence, the paragraph. So they understand the word, then the sentence, then the paragraph.
Interesting.
Then you've got kinesthetic people. Kinesthetic people, they process information through body language, tone of voice, energy, and emotion.
Wow.
Now, focusing specifically on music in your life, when you're listening to a completed song of your own or of someone else's, are you seeing the picture of the song? Are you hearing the words, or is it about the feeling?
Oh, wow. I relate to all three of those.
Okay.
I don't know. I relate to all three of those. I think I'm such a dreamer. Like, you know, just in the natural sense of like, I go to bed and I'll have the craziest dreams. So I feel like I'm very picture oriented, mm-hmm. but I'm also very feeling like, you know, I have this unreleased snippet of an artist that I've been listening to in my head. And as much as the lyrics are also in my head, it's the feeling and it's the percussion of it that's also in my heart and my mind. So I don't know which one to put myself in. I don't know.
But maybe it's a combination of all.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all. Yeah.
But now when you're listening to songs of other artists,
yes.
are you able to relax and just to listen to it for what it is? Mm. Or is your creative technical brain unpacking liking what you're hearing?
No, I can relax.
Oh, can you?
No, I can relax and listen. I think if I like the song so much and I play it and play it, then I'll be like, oh my gosh, I didn't hear that the first time. Is that what he says? That's beautiful. But I think in general, I'm a music lover, so I can just relax and listen.
What is coming up?
Oh, so much.
Okay.
We have two really cool activations for Less Trouble, our album, one in Cape Town, one in Durban in December. We are also everywhere for the festive season. I'm super excited about that. I'm not good at gig guides, but I will try and be very vocal about where I am. And yeah, we have two new videos coming out before the end of the year. So yeah.
You referenced earlier about that pop, the Spice Girls and the yes. perception of the pop lifestyle and the ups and downs. Understanding that it's traveling a lot, it's on and off trains, it's sound checks, on and off stages. For you personally, how do you balance your energy, mind and spirit through all that movement?
I don't know, just watch a lot of TV. Okay. Take a good walk. I love a good hike. And go home. I love to go home. I'm from Durban. So I guess distancing myself from the busy cities like Cape Town and Joburg. Mm-hmm. Or I go for a hike by myself. Or I watch a lot of Netflix or Disney Channel. Okay. Yeah.
So all those variety of things.
Yeah.
And when you, going back to writing and creating of music, you write by yourself. Do you ever collaborate with others in the writing process?
Definitely. I love to have another writer in the room when I've overprocessed the idea. So I'll work on the idea by myself. And then when I'm hitting a wall, I love to get someone in to kind of like show me another way out. Yeah.
When you're writing with another artist or collaborator that you have as yet written with, does it take you a moment to get used to the energy?
Yes.
Okay. So you chat it out. You don't dive straight into writing.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't because we're so different. So try and become like as quickly as possible, as friendly as we can be. And then we start talking like, what do you want to sing about? What do you want to sing about? But sessions are always awkward. But yeah, I like to put myself in awkward sessions for like at least once a month.
Okay.
Just so that I can get out of my ways for a bit and try a different way. Yeah.
I like what you're saying because it's about comfort zones.
Yes, 100%.
So people unconsciously create comfort zones.
Yeah.
I teach spinning classes.
Nice.
And for me, I'll have the class and it's not pre-booked. It's first come, first serve.
Okay.
And you'll get the person who every week, that's my bike.
Yeah.
And if someone is sitting in their bike,
it's awkward.
Dare you.
Yeah. I love that. That's so funny.
But it's just a conversation around people getting unconsciously stuck in their comfort zones, because if you're in a comfort zone, means there's no fear, in inverted commas, because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, 100%.
So I love that what you're saying about you want to be pushed out of that often, because then it allows growth.
I do. I struggle with comfort zones. So I love to push myself out of it when I can, when I'm willing.
Your top three artists, top of mind, that are on your bucket list that you want to, local, international, that you want to write and collaborate with, and you have as yet to do so?
Oh, so many. I think locally there's so many. I think it would be Nkosazana Daughter. I haven't worked with her. I would love to work with Gabza Dismore. I would love to work with Nasty. We always say we're going to do something, but we never lock in. Internationally, I think I'm obsessed with SZA, Big Dream, and who else? I think internationally, my heart is just with SZA. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love this next game. I know if I had to ask you this question tomorrow or the next day or the next day.
It will change?
It will change. Okay. I know it will change because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind.
Okay.
When you get into your car now and drive off, if you had to push play to five other artists once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And if you can think of songs of theirs, what songs would you play?
Okay, what I played today was Alex Isley. Super obsessed with Alex Isley. I also played a bit of Kehlani. I also played a bit of Luther Vandross. I played Tracy Chapman. Mm-hmm. Who else did we play today? And I played SZA today.
There we go. Yeah. Nice mix, all genres, all decades, as it should be.
All decades as well, yeah.
I love that. The podcast is listened to throughout the world.
Hi. Hi, world.
As a final message to the audience, what would you like to say?
I would just like to say, one, if you know me and listen to my music, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it so much. And I couldn't do it without you. And if you are struggling with anything, just believe in yourself. You are capable of more than you can imagine.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.